Seated if you'd like.
Strip everything away till all I have is you. Undo the veils so all I see is you. Strip everything away till all I have is you. Undo the veil so all I see is you. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence.
Oh God.
I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. So do not pass me by. I'm breaking through the boundaries. I will not be denied. I'm pressing into you. So do not pass me by. I'm breaking through the boundaries. I will not be denied. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. Open my eyes. Search me inside. I can't live without your presence. I can't live without.
push me inside. I can't live without your presence. I can't live without your presence. I will pursue you. I will pursue your
Lord. Hallelujah. He's been so good. I just have to express myself, Lord, for your goodness to me, Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm not ashamed to lift up my hands. I'm not ashamed to shout out your name. Lord, you are good. You are great and greatly to be praised in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the valleys, I will praise your name. In the mountaintops, I will praise your name. From the rising of the sun to the going down to the same, I will praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just give him one resounding hand clap of praise? Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time to receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Brother Al Fredrickson, would you pray for the offering this morning?
Mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every
every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Open up the heavens.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part, flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all dads, grandpas, uncles. I'm so thankful for everyone to be here. The kids have prepared they're acting out a song. I'm never quite sure what the correct words are for that. And we have some help from Brother Bill. And the song that they are going to be performing is I Want to Be Just Like You Because He Wants to Be Just Like Me. Very old song, but very touching. If you don't already feel the pressure as a dad or even a grandpa, because I know as a grandma, I feel like, wow, I have quite the influence on my grandchild. You know, they spend time with you. They're watching you just as much as they're watching their parents. I mean, their parents are number one. I don't say grandma's number one. You know, I always say you got to do what your mom. And I can only speak as a grandma, but I am sure as a dad, as a grandpa, that you feel that pressure. There are different pressures that you feel that I may not even understand or realize, but just knowing that your actions more than even your words. Your words always need to be encouraging and supportive and correcting, but they just watch you so much. And always realize they're never going to stop watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you, but your adult children still watch you. And it is quite the responsibility. I feel it as a woman, as a grandma, but I know that men, they're your sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters are watching you for the example that you put in front of them. Your worship, your words, your actions, your kindness toward people, it's all your faith, you know, that you're not crumbling when everything seems to be crumbling around. And I know it's a lot, but I just, you know, it's not my place, but I'm just saying I really feel it, that how much while they really watch me. My grandkids really watch me. So our job's never done. Our job is just never done. We are just always being example. And to those fatherless children, I'm sorry, I didn't plan on talking at all, but those fatherless children and the men in this church that know their name, that learn their name, that say, hi, how are you doing? that bring them to church. I'm just so thankful because you can be an example of a father that they do not have in their own home. And you can be an example as a loving Christian man in front of all these Sunday school kids and in front of my granddaughter. You know, you all know I'm single. I don't have, you know, Sadie doesn't have a grandpa that's going to church. I don't have a husband that she can watch or whatever. So you men, her uncles, but then there's you men in this church, our pastor, she thinks the world of you, and it's so important for her to see. Men worship too. It's just not us ladies that are worshiping, but men love God too. And it's just, you know, I just wanted to share that with you, or God wanted me to share that with you. I didn't plan that, but please, I know that you'll enjoy this, and if you can't see, Brother Kellum, if you can't see, you might want to scooch in. I think everybody else will be able to see, so I'm sure that the kids will bless you this morning.
Wasn't that awesome? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. Thank you, Children's Ministry Department, Sister Connie, and all the wonderful kids. Kind of hard not to get choked up seeing something like that. If you are a father in this place, stepfather, foster parent, biological father, if you are a father by any societal definition, why don't you stand right now? We want to honor you. Go ahead, it's all right. Just a few moments, we will give you just a small token of appreciation for being a father, but before we do that, you're going to have to listen to me preach. Thank you. One more time, I want to give them a round of applause. Such a wonderful group of men, fathers. You may be seated. As you're seated, I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. There will not be any PM activity here at the church. Normally we have a revival by design training that will not be happening tonight. We encourage you to spend time with your family. Announcements are rolling on the screen between sessions. Hopefully you're able to fill in dates. Also look at Breeze. We are doing our best to update what's happening, when, giving you details on particular events. 2 weeks from today is a very special day. It is the time that we have a church picnic, if you will. We call it Family and Freedom Celebration. And Brother and Sister Davis have once again allowed us to have the picnic at their residence, and so we're thankful for that. So we will have a regular service here Sunday morning, and then around 5 o'clock gather together there at their residence to celebrate our family, celebrate our freedom together. And the only admission, if you will, is just a covered dish. However, if you are a member of this church, we do want you to help us in the setup and takedown of the event. As many of you know, an event like that does not happen unless we have a lot of people who are helping us work. So at the back on the table, you will see a sheet that looks like this. It's got a flag and fireworks at the top. It is a sign-up sheet for the many different jobs and responsibilities that need to happen to make the party happen. And so if you would sign up, that way you are making yourself accountable. I know in times past we just kind of, you know, people did whatever, but I think the more organization and structure that you have, the more accountability that you have, the better it will be. So if you are a member of this church and you are an able-bodied individual, male or female, there is something for you to do therein. And so I expect that by that time that all the blanks will be filled up, people sign. You can sign up for more than one thing if you want to. That's not a problem, and you can rest assured I will be involved in any, if not all, of the different events, helping them happen, and I know others will be as well, but we just want to make sure you're aware of that. 2 weeks from today, again, this is open to anybody and everybody. It is not just exclusive to our church. We open it up to the community, people around about, and want them to come, a way to socialize and interact and rub shoulders with other people. Then at the end, many of you know, we kind of set up there on the berm, watch the fireworks display from the city of Sandwich. We'll have popcorn and that sort of stuff. So a couple other things you may want to bring. You may want to bring some lawn chairs, and you may want to bring some bug spray. So we encourage you to be a part of that 2 weeks from today. Why don't you stand? I will not be long in my comments, but I do believe God has given me direction, and I will, those men that stood earlier, I will make no bones about it. I will be speaking directly to you and indirectly to the rest of the congregation, and I hope that God will minister you to you this morning. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter number 12, begin reading in verse number 9, three verses of Scripture, 9, 10, and 11, and then we will pray. I'll allow you to be seated, and I will make my comments again. I will endeavor to keep them brief. Hebrews chapter number 12, begin reading in verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Everybody say fathers of our flesh. Fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Nobody enjoys punishment.
Nobody likes in the present to be punished. I know as a kid I didn't like the whoopings. I didn't like being grounded. It wasn't something that I relished. I didn't look forward to it. But afterwards, nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Thankfully, my mom and dad exercised their right many times. And I'm better for it. I now stand, at the time, I didn't understand it. At the time, it made me mad. At the time, I didn't see it as fair or just or, you know, any of those other things that adolescents and teenagers see and view as parents and the mean people that they are. But looking back now, I say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God I had parents, and more specifically to the moment and to this message, I had a father who corrected me. You may be seated. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. God, I thank you for all those who are here in attendance. Lord, I pray that your word would encourage and quicken our hearts and our minds, that we receive it therein. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. In your precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. I want to speak to you upon this subject. Fathers of our flesh. Fathers of our flesh. A few verses prior to our text, the writer of Hebrews exhorts the readers in Hebrews 12, 5 and 7 to despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? In other words, one of the ways that I can tell that I'm a child of God is that he often corrects me. The central theme of Hebrews 12, if summed up in one word, would probably be correction. The writer comparing the correction of the fathers of our flesh to the more excellent and beneficial correction from our Heavenly Father. The writer further drives the point by making a statement that I believe to be key and want to focus upon in verse number 25 of the same chapter. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. In other words, if you didn't listen to your daddy on the earth, you're going to have issues listening to your daddy from heaven. I'm about to get very plain. You know me. I don't dance around the puddles. I jump in. I am, and in this message, I do not seek to be injurious, but I do seek to help. And I do seek to point to you fathers, myself included, for us to understand just how essential and how important our role is in the family. Might I paraphrase this passage in context? The writer of Hebrews is telling us one better understands and sees the benefit of correction from our Heavenly Father, the Father of spirits, by and through the experience of correction from the fathers of our flesh. Furthermore, learning how to accept and how to apply correction from our Heavenly Father is supported by the correction from the fathers of our flesh. In other words, we know how to listen to daddy by understanding how to listen to daddy. Say it with me. So vitally important is the role of father in the flesh. In reference to the general population raised in father-absent environment, there are 9 characteristics that are stated as those who are raised in a fatherless environment. They have five times the average suicide rate. Dramatically increased rates of depression and anxiety. 32 times the average rate of incarceration. Decreased education level and increased dropout rates. Consistently lower than average income levels. Lower job securities. Increased rates of divorce and relationship issues. Substantially increased rates of substance abuse. Increases in social and mental behavior issues, all as a result of an absentee father. David Blankenhorn, the founder and president of the Institute for American Values and author of Fatherless America, said this: before they reach the age of 18, more than half of our nation's children are likely to spend at least a significant portion of their childhoods living apart from their fathers. Never before in this country have so many children been voluntarily abandoned by their fathers. Never before have so many children grown up without knowing what it means to have a father. Fatherlessness is the most harmful demographic trend of this generation. It is the leading cause of declining child and adult well-being in our society. It is also the engine driving our most urgent social problems. If this trend continues, fatherlessness is likely to change the shape of our society, and I would add, it is emphatically doing so. I wholeheartedly agree with those statements, but I would also add this: the absence of a natural father in life contributes to the absence of the heavenly father in life. So important is our role, fathers. So vitally essential is to us doing what we are to do and our responsibility as a father. For it paints the portrait, if you will. It gives the picture of correction from a heavenly father. Might it be that society's inability to correct course and its continual stray and sinfulness is sped along in its course away from our heavenly father by the absence of so many fathers of our flesh? I dare say this: our society would be so much better if more fathers found it a priority to be in the house of God. Society as disobedient children without discipline and correction from a father, we fall further and further into sin. Let me give you an example that will surprise you. Talk to you about something that is, if you do any reading of media, you will know that it is an issue in our day and age and has been for some time since the 70s. The issue of abortion. Why would you talk about abortion on Father's Day? Isn't this a woman's issue? Because society has painted it as a women's right issue, and the life is directly attached to the mother. We understand the biology of it. For some reason, we have isolated this as being an issue for the woman. But I stand to correct it. Stay with me. I hope that you're not easily offended this morning. But I wonder just how drastically would the abortion rate be reduced if more men who were man enough to lie with a woman were man enough to stay around, support, and be responsible for the life. I'm sorry, I do not give a pass to either party. Any man that would try to convince a woman to take the life is just as wrong as the woman who gives the consent. I know this is not popular preaching. I know that many would say this is hate speech, but we need to understand, oh no, no, this is love speech. This is the understanding that we need fathers. Our world has too many men who are man enough to father a child, but then aren't man enough to father a child. I'm going to say that again. We have too many men who are man enough to father a child, but then aren't man enough to father a child. The Bible tells us, we men, we set the example. Verse 10, it says, for they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. That doesn't mean they found pleasure in punishing us. That means they did it to the best of their ability, and we reverenced them for it. I respect my father to this day because he loved me enough that when I needed it, he said, boy, it's time for a whooping. I love my father today because he respected me enough not let me run amok and just do what I wanted to do and live how I wanted to live. But he said, boy, as long as you're in this house and as long as you're under my roof, you will abide by my rules. I thank God for my father. Why? Because he helped me to apply the correction from my heavenly father. When he did it in love and he did it in the right way, I can look toward heaven and say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me in the same way. Correct me. Steer me back in right course. You know me, I often give personal examples, and I hope I won't embarrass my oldest son, but last night, as we often do, we say our prayers before bed, and I crawled into bed with him, and he's 11 now, so that in and of itself is a little bit, okay, what you doing, Dad? I'm still bigger than him, stronger than him. When he's under the covers, it makes it real easy to pin him. This is what I said. I hope you'll indulge me this private moment, making it public. But I told him, I said, bud, I realize I've been real hard on you lately. And I have been. It seemed like every time I was calling his name of late, it's to correct him. Hey, you didn't do this, or you need to do that, or this wasn't picked up, or I asked you to do this and it wasn't done. I said, bud, you need to know that I do it because I love you. Because you're growing up. Starting to be more responsible. And one of these days, I want you to be the very best father you can be. And so I got to teach you respect. And I have to teach you responsibility. And I have to try to instill in you a work ethic. Why? Because it matters. Because I only have a few days. I only have a short time. Time flies, and before long, he may be looking down at me, and I may be looking up at him, and pinning him might not be so easy, and the affection that I can give now, he may not be so readily acceptant of it. And so I only have a few days, so I got to make the most of the moments. Because why? He wants to be like me. I want to be like him because he wants to be like me. Because I'm the example. I'm the one in the gap, if you will. I'm the one painting the picture and the portrait of what it means to have a father. And if I can do that relationship in the right way, and though I am imperfect, and though I make mistakes, he can understand beyond a shadow of a doubt, I do so because I unequivocally love him. And guess what? Even though it's for a few days, I have the opportunity somewhere along the line, he'll understand. And when the time comes and correction comes from his heavenly father, maybe I've done enough to instill that relationship that when correction comes about the way he's handling his wife, or correction comes about the way he's leading his own children, he can look back to our relationship and say, Daddy did these things because he loved me. And so, Father in heaven, I know you're correcting me now because you love me. Little time that I have left to mold my three, to shape them into great people, to make them what God would have them to be. The relationship that I have with Austin and Kinsley and Landon is so important because it points them to the relationship of the Father of Spirits. It points them to relationship with their Heavenly Father. The Father that they have in the flesh is so vitally important because it points them to their Father in heaven. Verse 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. You can ask them, they don't like it. They don't like it when I have to correct them. They don't like it when daddy has to be dad. Has to put them in their place. One of these days, they'll understand. One of these days,
afterward, it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I want them to live a righteous life. And so I will exercise my right as father to discipline and correct them. I will. Unfortunately, we live in a world where that right is no longer exercised as it should. And a lot of times that is because the father just isn't around. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I have hobbies and I love to do things. But you need to understand, there's nothing I love more in life than to being a husband and a father. My family is first and foremost. Because I interact with them on a daily basis, and I am the example of what it means in their relationship with their Heavenly Father. In closing, fathers, chasten in love. Discipline with divine intent. Do your best in the few days that you have as father in the flesh to create continuity with a father of spirits. Do everything that you can. Even though it seems like you're being hard on them, if you go soft, listen to me, understand me. If you go soft, and you know me. I'm not talking about overdoing it. I'm not talking about being abusive in any sense of the word. That's what you're thinking. You're missing it entirely. I'm talking about in love, learning to correct your children. If you do so in the right way, you are setting them up. And you are strengthening and supporting a relationship with their Heavenly Father. You can stand to your feet. Kudos to the fathers who find themselves in the house of the Lord today. I applaud you for your decision to be here with your family in the house of the Lord. Props to those present fathers whom, though not perfect, are doing their best to make their relationship with their children a priority and pointing them to their Heavenly Father. Thank God for you. We could get more like you. We could turn the tide. We could. I know I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. It was some years ago. I was listening to a talk show host, a nationally syndicated talk show. And the man, even though he was a conservative by his own proclamation, he was astounded because he had on his staff for the summer an intern. And he had heard some rumors about this young lady as an intern. And so it was so much that he felt that he wanted to call her in and put her on this talk show. And he began to ask her some questions. And he was somewhat flabbergasted. And he said, I need to know, is this true? He said, I've heard around the area here that you don't just date. This was a young lady in her late teens, early 20s, if I recall correctly. And she said, well, no, I don't. He said, so you're telling me you don't ever just go out with a guy just to go out? She said, no, I do not. He said, don't you understand it's a little bit odd that most ladies your age would just, it's nothing but a thing just to go out with a guy and maybe, you know, see what it's like? And she said, no, that's not something that I do. He said, well, can I ask you why? Why is it that you, where a lot of other young ladies see this as normal activity in their life, but you say you don't ever just hook up with a guy. You don't ever just go out with a guy. She said, well, I would never go out with a guy unless my father first approved. And I guarantee you, if we were in a public place, there would have probably been an audible gasp. She said, so you're telling me that no matter how interesting the guy is or how good looking he is or, you know, debonair, you're telling me that you're just not going to go out with a guy unless your father first approves. And she said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He said, well, so you're not interested in just, you know, going. She said, oh, no, I'm interested. That appeals to me. And she said, but it doesn't appeal to me as much. But she said this. that doesn't appeal to me as much as it would hurt me more to disappoint my father. Boing! I thought to myself, man, I don't know who you are, but you're doing it right. Somehow you've established such a relationship with this young lady that she has set some boundaries and she has set parameters. And she said, before I ever go out with a guy, he is going to meet my father, and my father is going to prove that we ever go out on a date. And I know in our world today, that's like, what? That's so archaic. Well, this woman, she should have her own. She should be able to do whatever she wants to do. Well, she can do whatever she wants to do. But guess what? She's made a choice because of her relationship. Because of her relationship with her father. And I thought to myself, oh my God, if I can have that same type of relationship. So last night as I was preparing my notes for today, I heard a call from upstairs. Daddy? Kensley's at, yes. Daddy, can you come here? Come to the bottom of the steps. Their princess is at the top of the steps. She's already supposed to be sleeping, but, you know. Daddy, would you come up here and pick out a dress for me to wear tomorrow? Many of you know we had just been in Florida, and so one of the good things about going to Florida is we get to see family, and family have kids that are older than our kids. So we get hand-me-downs. But good stuff, not like, I mean, good stuff. So we go into her closet, and it's a disaster. Got all these nice, pretty new dresses that her cousin Savannah given unto her. So I was like, well, baby, these are all new. Yes. So we're looking and we're picking, and I see the one that she's wearing this morning, and I say, how about this one, baby? It's got leggings. I like that one, Daddy. So, well, why don't you wear that one tomorrow? Okay. Come downstairs, and my wife looks at me. Just a few minutes ago, I pulled that one out and pointed at her, and she went, ooh, not that one.
Hey, Dad.
Come here, Daddy. Pick out a dress. She'll never know how much that meant to Daddy. That Daddy's opinion matters that much. And if I can keep my opinion mattering that much as she grows, and I know that's going to be a challenge. I get that. She's not a teenager yet. She's a beautiful little thing, and I know it's going to be difficult. But if I can keep that going. What dress do I wear tomorrow, Daddy? Huh. The fathers of our flesh are so important. And they play such a vital role all over this house. If you feel comfortable doing so, why don't you lift your hands? But at the very least, why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're a father in this place, please do not underestimate the importance that you have in the lives of your children and grandchildren. Whether they're still under your roof or not, if you have any influence at all, please point them toward their Heavenly Father. Correct them with love, with divine intent, as the father of the flesh, to place them in connectivity and continuity with their Heavenly Father. You will never regret doing so, and it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the shed of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways.
As they continue to sing,
you are perfect in all.
If you stood earlier when I asked you a father, why don't you casually make your way down here to the front? We want to honor you here in just a few moments. Stepfathers, foster parents, if you are a father by any definition of the word in a societal sense, why don't you come down in front?
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Why don't we give them a round of applause? Fathers, we will one day be accountable. We will one day have to stand before God. The deeds that we have done in regards to our children. But we are the very image, the very picture. We are those individuals who are in the role of being the Father of the flesh that points them to the Father of spirits. So important, so vital is that role and responsibility. As we conclude here this morning, I would like the rest of the congregation, why don't you stretch your hands toward those fathers that are up. They're under pressures of life. Understand the enemy seeks to get the top. He can never get the top to tumble. The rest falls. Lord, help us. I pray for these men, as fathers, God. Help them to see the importance of their role, God. It does matter what they do and where they go and what they say. It does matter the example that they live in front of the children. Such an awesome role and responsibility that you have placed in our care. Let us do it in such a way that brings glory to you. Oh, if more fathers would find their place in your house, if more fathers would see their responsibility of steering their children to you.
what a different world we would live in. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. Father, as we honor you this morning, from all of us here, First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, happy Father's Day. Again, remind you, no activities here at the church tonight. Please go be with your family. Celebrate Father's. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.